Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Welcome to New Life Live. I'm glad you're with us here today. And this is kind of unusual, but we had a wonderful guest, Lauren Beckhue, on the program a couple of days ago. She's going to be on with us again today. Henry, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Steve.
Dr. Henry Cloud is the author. I'll hold this up for people watching us on tv.newlife.com. The author of an amazing book, Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. Well, if you read this book, you'll never do it again. And we've been doing some material for tv.newlife.com. And I tell you, it's really good. One of the things in there is never take your eyes off the big picture. And, you know, we've been talking with Lauren about her getting pregnant. And, man, that's a time that's when right. It's really easy to take your eyes off the big picture of God is the creator of life, this isn't the end of the world for you, and there's big things to come.
Yeah. Lauren, the other day when you were talking about the moment in which you know, you're walking through this, you found out you were pregnant, you're not married, and what are you going to do? You said something, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was something like, you know, when you're up against the wall and in those crises, sometimes that's when you can't see options, right? And you just don't see any way out. And the interesting thing about that is really, you know, our brain is kind of wired that way in that when we are under total threat, we can get into a survival fight or flight mode where thinking is lost.
Yeah.
You know, and the ability to see the big picture is lost. And really, part of what spiritual growth is about our being in the big picture so much all the time that we understand that God is the big picture, that when those moments come, that we are, I think the longer we go on, you know, the goal is that when the moments come, we don't go into the fight or flight mode.
Right.
Because we always know that there's a way out. There, that God will make a way. But in those moments, that's not an easy thing to hold on to sometimes.
No. How did you hold on to the big picture when you were in that situation of being pregnant and not married?
Well, not very well at first, for sure. You just get lost in thinking, my life is over, and, you know, I've totally ruined God's plan for my life. And it's so easy to just to feel like, you know, there's nothing really for you anymore. I think the biggest thing...
And you would have been 22?
I was 21.
21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing was just being rooted in His Word and seeing how He took care of the people I was learning about as I read and knowing that, you know, if He can put a prostitute in the lineage of Christ, well, He's going to do some amazing things through me too, just to let Him do it.
That's right.
When you look at that line of people in the line of Christ, and you're talking about in Hebrews 11? So, yeah. I mean, if you don't think that God can use all of us screwed up humans, then you ain't read the book.
Hey,
because that's pretty much what He did.
Hey, He, you know, Abraham is in there, and he essentially prostituted his wife a couple of times out of fear. And the worst case of delegation ever in the history of the world was Sarah delegating to Haggai, or was that her? Hagar, the birthing of a son. Which Ishmael God promised him a nation too. There you are. So,
and I just love Rahab's story.
Rahab is a wonder. She served the Lord. We'll be back after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer August 8th through the 10th in Dallas, Texas. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. All right. I'm just reading a little letter I got from the Department of Motor Vehicles commending me on my driving record. Let's go.
Was it an encouraging letter, Steve?
It was not exactly. I would say it was more of a shame-inducing type of letter.
You know, I never had seen one of those before, but it's true. You get a ticket, and I'm not going to read it, but if we read this letter to you, you would want the DMV to go to a parenting group, because it is the shamiest thing that I've ever
and none of the infractions occurred in the state of California. And so I thought that was interesting. Let's go to Abby from Lusby, Maryland, I think. Is that right, Abby?
Yes, it is right.
All
yes,
right.
It is.
Listens to WAVA. Hi.
Yep. Hi. I was listening in a couple of days ago when Lauren was on the show.
Yeah.
And there was a woman there who said that abortion is okay in some cases. I just wanted to comment about that because I am 17 now, but just a little bit of background.
You're how old now?
I'm 17.
17. Okay.
Yep. And I am adopted. My birth mother was 19. My birth father was 16.
Wow.
And it could have been so easy for my birth mother to just go ahead and abort me. But if she did, I never would have had the chance to live. My parents never would have had a completed family. Me and my sister are both adopted out of similar cases. But my parents just wanted to have a family, and they couldn't on their own, so they chose to adopt.
Hmm.
If I had been aborted, my family never would be the same way it is today.
Right.
I never would have had a chance to know the personal Savior I know now, who is
right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
I never would have had the chance to live, to love, to do anything if my birth mother had chosen to say, I don't want this baby, so I'm just going to abort it.
Are you sure you're 17?
I'm absolutely sure.
Because those are some pretty mature thoughts there, Abby, and I appreciate you calling. Why don't you hold on? Let me send you a copy of this book, okay?
Okay.
You hold on. Anything else you want to say before we go?
I just wanted to say, if you are thinking about aborting, please don't. There are so many people out there willing to help you, willing to encourage you to keep that baby. And if you have aborted, please go get some help. There are so many Christian people out there who have gone through the same thing, who know that Jesus Christ can forgive and heal any wound of any kind.
That's right. And as Lauren said last time she was on, a couple of days ago, she got involved in a women's Bible study. And she found out it wasn't really for her. And then she found another Bible study that was. And I think, you know, you hear people all the time talk about going to Al-Anon, and then they didn't like it. And they never
say, oh, I tried that. Yeah. Oh, I tried
Or
that.
They go to a group therapy or a support group or grief group. Oh, I, you know, divorce recovery. You got to do what Lauren did. Go to the next one. And maybe go to the next one until you find the group that's right for you. All right. Now, Lauren, one of the things that you told us last time you were here is that your parents, you always felt loved. Tell us some of the things that they actually said to you after they got over the shock. Because parents can say anything under shock.
What did they say in the shock? I'd like to know that.
Okay.
One.
All right.
My mom didn't say much of anything initially. My dad, the first thing he really said to me was...
Who is a minister.
Mm-hmm. The first thing he said was, don't feel like you have to get married. And I just felt like him saying that, I felt so valued by him that it wasn't just a, well, this is what you have to do to fix it. You've totally embarrassed this family and, mm-hmm. and you're going to fix it. It was, well, you don't have to get married. Don't think that that's your only choice here. And hearing that from him was so comforting. And within a few days, my mom came home with a bag of baby clothes. And that, to me, was huge because I had seen my parents with their first grandchild. And there was something inside me that kind of wondered, are they going to love this baby as much as they love that baby who was planned? And when she did that, I knew there was no way they couldn't love it.
What a sweet way to say, I'm going to love your baby.
Wow.
Bring home some baby clothes. I love that. All right. Let's go to Marie.
You know,
yes, Henry.
When you said that, our caller, Abby, who is 17, and she is one of those babies, right? And she talked about how she has this life where she gets to know God now because mm-hmm. she wasn't aborted. And I was thinking, you know, see if you can follow the train of thought here. So
okay.
Your mom comes to you a couple of days later with a sack full of baby clothes, and she's going to love that baby. And I thought, your mom was a picture of God, that God was going to love that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah. baby has always been in somehow that we don't understand
yeah.
in God's plan.
Right.
And God was going to love that baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're told that children are a blessing, and if it's not something that we're capable of doing, if we're not capable of parenting, well, then that baby will certainly be a blessing to, you know, a couple that can't have their own children or some other circumstances. They're promised to be a blessing.
Now, when you came home, you weren't in the same city as the college, so your boyfriend moved to the city where you were, or what did he do? How did you guys get together for marriage?
Well, we got married when we were still in college.
Okay.
I mean, I can't think of a more fun spring break than to get married, right? Not the typical spring break trip.
Okay.
But we did. We got married in spring break
okay.
of senior year. We were married for the last...
How long had y'all been together?
Before I found out I was pregnant. A whole 3 months.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
okay.
got married over spring break, like I said, and then finished out the last 2 or 3 months of school together on campus.
And then you moved where?
North of Boston.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
He was there. Yes, emotionally, physically, he was there. I married a very, very good man.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I wish I had had the character that he had when I was faced with the same thing. Let's go to Marie from Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing? Speak right up, and do you have a question or a comment?
A little bit of both, I believe. I was 17 when I married, and I had 2 children in the course of my marriage, and I became pregnant with my 3rd child. At that time, I was 3,000 miles away from home, isolated with an abusive husband.
Mm.
And I had a choice to make, my husband and the 2 children that we had, or me be a single parent of 3 children. And so reluctantly, I chose my husband and the two children that we currently had. That was a really tough thing because it's not something I wanted to do. It was something that was forced on me.
Yeah.
That divorce, that marriage ended in divorce. And the all of this happened in the early 90s. I became pregnant again. I, of course, was living my way and not God's way. And the tough part about that pregnancy was that I didn't want the pregnancy. I actually prayed that God would take that pregnancy away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I aborted that child, and now something 20-plus years later, I'm still struggling.
Is your question, how do you get over the struggle all these years later?
It is. There's a lot of regret and mm-hmm. shame,
yeah.
some unforgiveness that I have towards myself. I have repented and asked God to forgive me.
But you haven't accepted it.
Yes, that's it.
Well, you know, when he died on the cross, he didn't get up there on that cross and think of you and say, this isn't for her. It's for everybody but her. He got on the cross because he wanted people like you to be washed white as snow. The slate wiped clean.
And I understand that, but it's really difficult for me to accept it. And,
yeah.
And I don't mean to be...
What is it?
I don't mean to reject Christ's love and the sacrifice that he made for me.
What if we call it not rejecting? Because I don't hear you rejecting, but I hear some obstacles to your being able to fully feel that, right? So let's name those obstacles. What are they?
Well. How can, to me, it was the ultimate thing that I could do. I took two lives, and there's not a day that I don't regret that. Mm. And I look at my three grown children, and I'm now a grandmother of six, and I think, my goodness, what could it have been? And I agree with what you said earlier, is that a lot of times, I mean, in my situation, it was a little different, but all those what ifs, and you're not sure of what's going to happen, and you're already a parent, and you're struggling, and how
okay.
are you going to...
So what is the obstacle? What's in the way? God has said, yeah, he knows all of that, and you're right, and... He forgives you, and he wants you to move on in that forgiveness. So what's in the way?
Me.
I know, but what specifically?
Me not forgiving myself. Me not moving on from that. I
know, but that's a result. What's in the way? What is it? Do you think that he's really not serious, or what is it?
Can he forgive me for something like that? God entrusted three children to my care.
How could he, Marie? That's a good question. How could he? Let me make a suggestion to you, okay? Are you there?
Yes.
One of the things I have a difficulty with when I hear people say it is the term forgiving yourself. I don't really think we can do that. I don't think we can be the forgiver and the forgivee.
Right.
And I think what happened just then is a step in the direction of how you get through this, because what you did was you were looking at him. You said, how can he forgive that? How can he forgive me? And it was just you and him. It wasn't God forgave you, now Marie's above God and got to forgive Marie. No, it's just there's only two of you in this equation. It's you and him. And that's the real question I think that you've got to grapple with is, does somebody, can somebody love Marie that much? How can he do that? That's who he is.
Yeah.
And I think you got to take, this isn't a committee. This isn't God and you and you. This is you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you can place yourself in a circle of people like Lauren has talked about, like 1 Peter 4:10 says that as they love you, they are administering the grace of God to you. And I think you've got to make yourself the object of grace, not the giver of grace. I think you got to make yourself the receiver of grace and get in front of some people and let them hand you God's love and acceptance, like Lauren was talking about.
We'll talk about how that is an act of surrender after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And I want to just, before we talk about surrender, I want to mention something. Henry and I did a segment on taking the good with the bad. Here's the comment. If this is the only video I ever see, my $100 annual fee for newlifetv.com, which is actually tv.newlife.com, will still be money well spent. This information is going to radically change my life and my marriage. Thank you. So, Henry, we did a little segment worth $100 to this person. Anyway, all right, now we were talking about, you did a great job.
We were trying to answer the $64 question.
Yeah, you were talking about how we can't be the giver of forgiveness and grace, and right, the receiver of forgiveness and grace. And I said, that's kind of an act of, well, it is. It's an act of surrender to quit trying to forgive yourself.
Right, right. And as Marie was talking there and thinking about just even getting close to touching the the fact that God or someone could forgive her, and you start to, you know, feel what all of us feel at that moment. She was, you know, you do surrender, and that's when those tears begin to come.
That's right.
And there's a lot of teaching out there, Steve, about, you know, forgiving ourselves and being in charge of that and this, that, and the other. But that's a strength position.
Yeah.
And what you're saying in the word surrender, the Bible calls us to not be a closed system that grants things unto ourselves. We are the created ones. God's the only closed system. He's the in terms of self-sustaining. Everybody else has to get what we need from the outside. And to do that, you've got to surrender. And when that happens, then we break into tears and we receive. And what results from that is this overwhelming gratitude, because there was nothing we could do to receive it other than to receive it.
Right.
To get it other than receive it.
Well, it seems like to me, Lauren, in your story, once you found out you were pregnant, you started kind of thinking, I don't know, what am I going to do? Maybe I'll abort and all this. But then you said you went back to God and His Word, and you surrendered to that, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't instant. It took a long time. I spent a lot of years stuck where that last caller was. And I want to say this with such tenderness as somebody who has been in that position, that in my opinion, the root of it is pride. And you think, how can it be pride when you're so low and you think, oh, I'm just not worthy of anything. I'm not worthy of God's forgiveness. But it's thinking that what you did is so beyond the power of God's redemption, and nothing is beyond that.
Right. And people don't. I mean, I was reading a story one day about a child molester who killed his victims on death row, ministering to other people on death row because he had accepted Christ while he was there. He believed that as horrible as his sins were, he was forgiven, and that he would join God in heaven. And, you know, I say, if anyone can. So I'm hoping for your freedom. Now, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I want to send you a copy of this book, Unexpecting. I think it's got some great truth that you will like. And so you hold on, Marie. We'll get your address. I wish somebody would scholarship you into Healing is a Choice, because I think you would really, really love.
I will.
You will.
I will, yeah.
Okay. Marie, look at that. Amazing. All right. So
what just happened there? That went by pretty quickly.
I don't even know what I did, but I think she needs some healing, and if I can get her there, I will.
Lauren, you've done that. Henry, you're the most generous person. Lauren,
Lauren just got scholarship to Healing as a Choice.
Marie
got scholarship.
I mean, Marie, that's by Lauren, right?
That is
Lauren,
so cool.
I've been there. I've been where she is.
Did you know that that
I
was
want
a,
her out.
Did you know that was a matching scholarship?
No.
Yeah. There you go. So we're going to send two people.
For healing that it relates to their shame of abortion. And maybe,
while we're doing this,
yes,
there's other people out there that would like to match those.
Oh, I'll match it. I'll match it.
Steve will match it. Now we have three people that just got scholarship to Healing as a Choice. And I've never done the sort of. Have you ever seen those TV evangelists on the what do you call them? The
televangelists.
Yeah. When you go, we got two, let's get three, come on more. And I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to. Everybody's out there. What
like
does it cost
auction
to scholarship somebody, Steve?
Yeah. Well, it's.
What am I in for? What did I just
commit to? $1,000.
Okay. About $1,000.
Because
okay.
We fly in the therapists from all over the country, and we fly in the speakers.
All right, so here's the deal. The Bible says that God has loved us, and He's comforted us, and that comfort is the comfort that we give to others, right? So if you've been out there comforted by God, and you've been healed, and God has worked in your life, and He's also comforted you with enough money to where you could share with somebody else, we're asking you to join us and to call up and scholarship somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's spread this comfort around that He's given to us.
All right. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. Lauren, maybe you started something here. Maybe other people have felt God's grace, and they'll do the same thing. By the way, there also is a post-abortion recovery CD that I'm going to send Marie. It's online, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's a post-abortion recovery CD. I think you will really like it. All right? We'll take a break, and we'll come back. 1-800-229-3000 is our phone number. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to match what was matched and matched. We'll be back after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle. Yeah.
Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud. Never go back. 10 things you'll never do again, and you'll be able to get those on tv.newlife.com. It's $99 a year. And also check...
Not the book.
Not the book, but tv.newlife.com. And also go to New Life Steve on Facebook, and there's just all sorts of good stuff that you can find there. I hope you'll like it. We are talking with Lauren Beckew, LaurenBeckew.com is where you can reach her. Or we'll put you in touch if you call us. Let's go to Lee, calling us from Bakersfield, California, listening online. Hello, Lee.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say it's been 2 weeks since we came back from Israel.
Yes.
And I'm still riding that wave of excitement. I'm so thrilled. It was an awesome, awesome trip. I can't say enough good things about it. The people that went there, I made so many friends. I just encourage anybody, if New Life ever does that again, or if their next trips to say, I'm saving my nickels, I'm going to go.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and a lot of learning about the Bible, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. My best experience was at the Western Wall. I went in there with an agenda, a little piece of paper, was going to put it in the wall, and you know, God's going to hear my prayer kind of thing. And before I could even get within 5 feet of the wall, God met me,
yeah.
And he brought me to a place of humility and complete transformation, confession, repentance. I finally did make it to the wall, but then I didn't want to leave.
I want to tell you, Lee, I did the same thing. I went to the wall, I got a piece of paper, and I asked God for a specific miracle to occur. And I stuck that little piece of paper in there, and I prayed, and I got on my knees. And when I got home, that miracle occurred within 48 hours.
Amen.
And I got to tell you, before I took that trip, I thought, this will never happen. And it did.
Yeah.
Within 48 hours.
That's awesome.
All right. I'm glad you called.
Thanks.
Hey, I'll send you a copy of Lauren's book just because you called, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. You hold on. And
while we're talking about Lauren's book,
yeah,
who should read your book?
I would say anyone who has gone through an unexpected pregnancy and anyone who could go through an unexpected pregnancy. So I think it's a kind of a wide audience, but certainly...
How young?
I would say starting in high school.
High school.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I tell you what it is. It's a great guide for parents and how to respond with love that would be a great outcome. So... if you want, it's called Unexpecting, for those of you watching on tv.newlife.com, looky there. And we'll put you in touch with Lauren, or you can go to her website, laurenbecque.com.
And for those of you who aren't watching, there's a little yellow sticky note on the cover of the book.
So genius.
And here's the to-do list for today. English paper, Spanish homework, laundry, and tell mom and dad that I'm pregnant.
Just a typical little post-it note.
Just a regular to-do list, right?
Yeah.
You remember that day, right?
Yeah, I remember that day.
Mm. Well, they had grace for you, and here we are. Let's talk with Brenda. She's a Club New Life member from Pottstown, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi there.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I absolutely adore both your radio program, and I'm a New Life Club member, and I joined your TV.newlife.com, I think, after the first episode that I watched.
Well,
thank you very much. You're
wonderful.
Do you
like it? Do you like the TV?
Yes, I do, very much so. I was particularly helped by the episodes on the trauma of betrayal.
Yes, with Sherry
Kefir. Personal experience for me, and I tell my story a lot of times to a lot of people, and I found that it always helps other people. How the old hymn would go: "How and when my soul looks back in wonder, how I got over."
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that's very helpful. And I was also very much helped by your episode about betrayal blindness.
Yes,
because I asked a girlfriend of mine, you know, how did I let it go on so long? What was wrong with me? And she said that, oh, Brenda, your story's just so horrible, it's hard to believe that it's really true. And she said that you're not a mean, nasty person, and you just you were blinded to the reality of evil.
Mm.
And so this last weekend, through the Bible study that I was introduced to by this girlfriend, this last weekend I spent close to 6 hours on the telephone with another lady who is now going through the betrayal trauma.
Oh, okay.
And we exchanged stories. And I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just want to know if you had a question we could help you with.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, because in talking with her this weekend and exchanging our stories and the similarities, that betrayal blindness might be more, in addition to the things that you were pointing out, that we were both found that we were both naive and inexperienced in our dating. We lacked support and were isolated, but neither of us were adept at recognizing evil for evil.
So what's the question then that you were thinking about?
How do we help women to recognize that pattern of evil, rather than focusing on where her, you know, background or limitations.
I'm going to answer that, Brenda. Okay. First of all, to help someone with this, you have to be in proximity of people who are dating and they're married and they're being betrayed. You have to be in a Bible study group or a a women's group, or you won't be exposed to these situations. So I would just say the first thing is to be connected. Right. Be connected to other women and be available to help them. Any thoughts on this,
well,
Henry or Lauren?
It's a really, really good question. And a lot of people will look at people who, you know, they're in a destructive relationship after relationship, and well, how could they not see this? No. Try to go talk to a fish and ask them, so how's that water temperature today? Is it too warm? Is it too – and a fish doesn't know that it's wet.
Yeah.
Right? We've never heard them write papers on how can we overcome wetness. It doesn't happen. And but what does happen to us as humans is that our brains will actually normalize what we experience. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean it feels good, but it does mean that that's the map of the world that your brain builds. And you can't recognize something better that you've never seen. Mm. And that's why it's so important that Steve used the word proximity. You've got to get really close to the light in order to recognize the darkness.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that people that God has shown light to reach out, and as Galatians 6 says, that if you see somebody caught up in something in a spirit of gentleness, you should reach out and to restore them gently and humbly, knowing that, you know, you could fall into the same thing, because people can't recognize it. It's just like I was a bank teller for a minute.
Like I was a waiter for
exactly.
A minute.
It was actually better part of a summer, but I got fired because I'm not the most detail-oriented person in the world, and I took a stack of $50 bills and accidentally wrapped it with a ones wrapper.
Mm.
And so the little tape thing said $50, and it was actually, what, $2,500, and I gave that to some little lady as change, and she never returned it. Point being, I remember in my training, they've got to train you to be able to spot counterfeit money.
Right.
And what they do when they're training you to spot counterfeit money is they don't give you counterfeit money. They put you in a room and have you play with real money over and over and over and over and over and over and feel it and look at it and be bathed in it. And you know what the real thing looks like. And then the counterfeit stands out.
Yeah.
That's why people from healthy families, when somebody treats them poorly, they go, what's wrong with that person? Somebody from a dysfunctional family, when somebody treats them poorly, they're drawn to it. So it is imperative you get into a spiritual community where goodness is happening, and you'll start to recognize it and see it, and then you'll know what's wrong.
All right. I'm glad that you called. And, you know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is, hold back those staggering toward the slaughter. And how many people are, I think that's King James, how many people are staggering toward the slaughter of a life because they're not seeing the reality that's there. God wants you to see. He wants you to see the light. We'll be back for final segment right after this.
I think that this culture teaches women that you should look a certain way, you should act a certain way, you should be available for your husband. They view sex as their marital duty. So many of them do not view sex as their marital delight. And that is sad to me, because I don't think that most men are looking for a wife who's just willing to be a sexual doormat. They're looking for an interested and motivated sex partner. There is nothing sinful about our sexual desires for one another in marriage.
The Passion Principles for Women workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 10th through the 12th. Best-selling author of Every Woman's Battle, Shannon Etheridge, will help you understand female sexuality, expose the deeper meaning behind sexual thoughts, integrate sexuality and spirituality, and connect with your husband, mind, body, and soul. For more information or to register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're here with Lauren Becue. She wrote the book Unexpecting. Dr. Henry Cloud's new book is out. We'll talk about it more on another program. Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. It is amazing. But we're going to take one final phone call. We'll go to Heather from Atlanta, Georgia, and this will be our last caller for today. Hi there.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to take your call.
Thank you so much for doing that. My question is it okay for me to leave my marriage? Well, I can't even do this without crying. I have been married for 13 years.
13 years.
Yep. And in the first part of my marriage, there was physical abuse, sexual abuse, drinking. You know, he's a drinker, and also pornography, just way too many things to even talk about. But we've been to counseling, like, I would say, to 10 different Christian counselors. We've moved so many different times because of losing our place of living. And right now, I'm in a church, a really good church that we found. We moved to this location last year, and my children are coming to church with me. And he had been clean off of drinking, I guess, for a couple years, but he has started again.
Mm-hmm.
He's very emotionally abusive, controlling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had a lot of other, I heard a caller that called in the other day, and she, her story was very similar to mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the question?
Is God okay with me? Is God okay with me going?
Okay, the question would be, now you say he's been unfaithful?
In pornography, yes.
In pornography.
I don't know if there's been any other relationships. I do know that he used to hang around a lot of other women, and I don't know if he still does that. There's uh-huh. times where I don't know where he's at, especially since the drinking has started again.
Yeah.
So I'm just not.
Heather, where is he in the relationship?
Like he doesn't want any help. He thinks everything's okay.
No, in the relationship. Does he want the relationship with you?
Says he does.
Well, is he at home?
No, he's we live together, but he's not here right now.
No, but yeah, that's what I was asking. So you're not separated?
No, not at this time.
Okay, and he's actively drinking now?
Yes.
And has he ever had treatment for his drinking problem?
Yeah, we actually met in a ministry, and it was a deliverance and healing ministry. He's been into AA. We've had family counseling, actually, for a year at one point in our life.
Okay, and what did they teach you to do in relation to his drinking in those ministries?
Some of the one ministry was just, you know, pray about it and ask God to deliver him.
What did they ask you to do?
Nothing, really. Just keep praying about it.
Yeah, I think that there may be a bunch more you can do. When you were asking the question about, you know, is it okay to leave him, what I was thinking was it's absolutely essential to leave the sickness But that doesn't necessarily mean that a marriage dissolves, because because what's got to happen when substance abusers are under the influence? Now, I don't mean in the moment, but I mean in the path, right? They don't know what they're doing. Right. And until somebody stands up and says, look, you know, you can continue to do this if you want, but I can't participate in it. I'm not going to continue in the pattern of sickness, right? I'm not going to join that.
Right.
And you have the kinds of limits and boundaries that give him the choice of he's going to be by himself in some way. Unless something changes, that's more than just praying about it.
Yeah,
that's where he has got to feel if he chooses this substance abuse lifestyle, then he gets the other things that go with it, like the consequences. And that's a really important part of this formula.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a subscription to TV.NewLife.com because if you will just take 30 minutes a day, it's going to educate you on all these options that you have other than just file for divorce. Because if we could get him well, keep the kids and you together, there's a little miracle right there that God could perform. And so people have said to us it's like therapy on demand. So you can go there any time. But I'll give that to you. Also, you know, earlier, Lauren got us started on scholarships. So if you can match Lauren, Henry, and me with a scholarship to Healing as a Choice or the Marriage Weekend, Every Man's Battle.
What he means by matches is that
it's about $1,000.
You're not sending us. We offered scholarships. Yeah. We are going to send three people, and we want you to match that by sending. I guess it'd be three more people, many more people.
Yeah, that's so, right.
There you go.
So it's Healing as a Choice, July the 18th in Washington, D.C. And it's also the same weekend there we do the Marriage Solution Workshop. And I know you've heard me say this before. We have seen people who have a restraining order against each other put their marriage back together and experience the joy of marriage that we can experience. Every Man's Battle, July the 11th. Join 11,000 men who have reclaimed their sexual integrity. It's in Washington, D.C. on July the 11th. Women in the Battle is August the 8th. If you have been in a relationship with someone who is unfaithful or has been involved in pornography or all the other stuff that goes with the betrayal, this is going to help you. And as we've learned, it's not just about someone looking at dirty pictures. It's about a man trying to destroy your intuition, trying to throw you off, trying to save their habit, and willing to do anything. That Women in the Battle Workshop by Sherry Keffer is August the 8th through the 10th. And then we have a new one, Passion Principles for Women, Finding Sexual Freedom in Marriage. Shannon Etheridge is going to do that October the 10th here in Orange County. So we have so many things that can be healing. But before we go, if you need anything, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. And please help us. Call that number. Support us. Or if you need help. But I just want to remind everybody, we've had Lauren Becku with us, and the book is Unexpecting. It's her story of being pregnant in college and making a tough decision to keep this child. Now the little baby is 7 years old, and there's a three-year-old sister, and a wonderful story. And if you want to copy this book, it's Unexpecting on Amazon, or you can call us, and we'll get you in touch with her. But thank you, Lauren, for being with us.
My pleasure.
I hope things go well.
Thank you.
Because this is a great message for a lot of people. And Henry, we'll deal with Never Go Back, all right? And we'll put it on tv.newlife.com. This program will be on there later today. Please go to New Life Steve on Facebook. And got some new things on there from last weekend, the big dance party, horseback riding, all sorts of amazing things that you can see. But more than anything, you get the truth of Jesus Christ. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.